Fred Film Radio, Sydney Jewish International Film Festival, Australia.
This is Christiana Palmieri for Fred Film Radio from the Jewish International Film Festival in Sydney, and I'm in conversation with Eddie Tamir, the festival director. Good evening, Eddie.
Hi, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me, as usual.
Thank you for having time for Fred. Eddie, this is your 6th year as festival director. What is your best achievement so far?
Best achievement. I think it's basically getting the respect of audiences, which then leads on to respect from filmmakers, sales agents, and producers. And when we are bidding for an Australian premiere of a film, we're finding it more and more possible and with a wider and bigger quality of films.
Can I ask you, how did you start 6 years ago? What was the trigger that made you say, oh, I'm going to promote this film festival and be the artistic director?
Sure. So, creative frustration. A. B, we have a cinema in Melbourne called the Classic Cinema in Elsternwick. The Jewish Film Foundation of Australia used to run the Jewish Festival of Cinema, as it was called, for 22 years, and it was running in our cinema. And because, as you mentioned before, off the microphone, there are 65 film festivals in Sydney and also in Melbourne. So the Jewish Festival of Cinema at the time was finding it very difficult to compete for product.
Yeah.
And because it's a Jewish film festival, there's films like we have films in this current 2017 issue, 26 countries are covered. So therefore, you're competing with the 26 national film festivals of each of those countries, as well as Melbourne International and Sydney. So they were finding it very difficult to compete and get the quality of product and the sponsorship and the customers and all of that. So we said, okay, if you can't do anything about, you know, we don't want a dying film festival in our cinema.
Of course.
So please give us a plan and show us what you're going to do, or we'll do it because we love the festival. Our customers look forward to it, and we want to make something successful and accessible and exciting in our cinema rather than having a dying festival. And if you can't, then we'll do it ourselves.
So that's the origin.
That's the origin.
The origin of the GIF.
That's it. Origin of GIF.
Eddie, this year program includes 65 films from 26 countries across the globe to celebrate the diversity of Jewish culture and storytelling.
Yep.
And this is a great achievement. Many come directly from film festival in Cannes, Tel Aviv, Toronto, Venice, and Berlin.
Yep.
So would you like to share with us the highlights of this year's program?
Sure, of course. You missed one important festival, Tribeca.
Tribeca. Sorry.
So we have the winner of the Tribeca Film Festival this year, Best Narrative Feature. That's called Keep the Change. It's a very beautiful film by a young director called Rachel Israel. And it's a story of... it's really a romantic comedy drama about a young couple that meet in a support group in Manhattan. And I guess, not the twist, but the uniqueness of the film is that both of the characters are on the spectrum of autism.
Right.
And the actors themselves are also on the spectrum. And it's the most surprising, joyous, moving film that I have seen in a long time.
So it celebrates life, even if the background of the story could be seen as a sad story or difficult story.
Absolutely. Totally transcends what, you know, able-bodied and able-minded people may think about people who are less fortunate and see the absolute full, whole human experience that they have.
And this is Keep the Change, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it got a very good review on Variety.
Absolutely. So, lots of great films. Menashe, we opened with Menashe.
Yes.
That premiered at Sundance this year. It's a bit of a curio of a film because it's the first Yiddish language film in 70 years.
You are stealing my next question.
And, you know, I love Yiddish culture. I don't speak Yiddish, but Yiddish theatre, cinema and culture somehow resonates with my genetic code, perhaps. And, you know, obviously people in the general community would know Fiddler on the Roof and the kind of populist Yiddish manifestations in English language, but it's a very rich culture, and Yiddish cinema really had many foundation stones into early Hollywood as well. Filmmakers, actors, producers, writers came out of the Yiddish cinema. So we're very proud to be showing the newest Yiddish film, as well as one of the oldest ones called The Dibbuk, which is a 1937 original seminal work that is got a restoration.
Okay. And going back to Menash, because this was a question I had for you, which actually got a very good review from The Guardian, A Quiet Triumph, an engaging drama of intimate detail and considerable humanity. We know that the choice of a particular film for the festival opening night is not a neutral choice.
Yeah.
There is always something behind that, something that the festival director wants to communicate to the audience.
Yeah.
What's your message for choosing this film?
Yeah. Two things come to mind. One is language, authenticity of culture and language. And, you know, Yiddish has, you know, been written off as a dying or dead language for a long time, as it was the Jewish language of Eastern Europe pre-war. But it's alive, and it's perhaps the new black. Yiddish is cool. you know, you would experience it in your work. The whole notion of subtitles, many people in the world find it challenging, difficult, boring, tedious, and ask the question, the statement, if it's got subtitles, I'm not going.
Yeah.
So to me, somehow this film connects to that issue for me, and if you don't see films with subtitles, you miss out on 2/3 of the world's culture. To me, that's like missing out on eating Chinese and Italian food. You know, it's just not fun and not interesting. So it does that for me. And then also the Yiddish culture, you know, from a Jewish perspective, is very interesting because, you know, it has such a resonance for so many people, grandmothers and grandfathers and great-grandparents. Somehow, you know, it's in the ether, it's in the air for many, many Jewish people. And even though they can't speak it, it's like these sparks and these lost traces. And I think it's very important in the Jewish story.
And it also connects people coming from very different geographical areas.
Absolutely.
Like East Europe or wherever else the diaspora happened. So it's really a kind of a bonding language.
It is. And it's deep. You know, I said I don't speak it, but when I hear it, I feel warm. It makes me laugh. And I just feel something, as opposed to if I hear, you know, Swiss.
Yes.
French or something. It's different.
Yeah, it's an emotional level.
It's an emotional level, which is weird that language can do that.
Yeah.
And so we're celebrating that experience.
Well, the nexus between language and identity could be really deep, because languages resonated not because they are words, but because they transfer to you emotions.
Absolutely.
Even if you don't speak it.
Yeah, that's right. And what's interesting about Yiddish is that it's in the American and almost world lexicon, you know, the whole SH thing, schmuck, schlemiel, stup, you know, schnutz, whatever. There's so many, you know, it's just there, and yet it's not grounded in the community that speaks it anymore. The ultra-Orthodox communities speak Yiddish solely as their secular language. They speak Hebrew only when they are dealing with the Bible, but in their normal day-to-day life, as in the film Menashe, that's their language of choice, even though they're living in Brooklyn in 2017.
So I think it's a very strong message from you to your audience in terms of choosing this film for the opening night.
Yes, and it's a modest film as well. So it's not the typical opening night film. Mm. It's not sensational in terms of scale. It's not the comedy of, like, let's have a good time at opening night. You know, it's a modest, high-quality human comedy and drama that, you know, takes us into a cloistered world.
And talking about another documentary, actually, that you are presenting this year, in a recent interview to the Australian Jewish News, You mentioned the documentary Ben-Gurion Epilogue, which is based on a recently discovered interview with David Ben-Gurion that was recorded a year after the Six-Day War. Well, we are very curious. We want to know about this discovery.
Yeah, so the discovery was about, I think, 5 or 6 years ago.
Very recently.
By the director Yariv Moser. It was a six-hour TV interview with Ben-Gurion.
Who was the first Israeli prime minister, if our audience doesn't know
sure.
that.
And so Yariv has crafted an amazing 90-minute feature documentary using that footage and much, much more to paint the picture of Ben-Gurion, of early Israel, and it's striking in the way that Ben-Gurion's words in the 60s resonate with contemporary Israeli politics. Amazing.
He was a very charismatic political figure, wasn't he?
He was. And he would do headstands on the beach as well. He was a very quirky character.
And so the discovery happened by chance, by accident?
I think so, yeah. I don't think they were looking for it. I think that they were looking through archives for another project and they struck this.
Fantastic. I'm going to see this one.
Okay. And it just won the Israeli Oscar for the best documentary 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah,
okay.
Very fresh.
I'd like to talk about your audience, because this year GIF has introduced a special offer for moviegoers under 30 years of age.
Yeah.
Do you think the themes that GIF explores tend to attract a more mature audience, therefore this initiative? Or is just, you know, something...
Yeah, it's a good question, because I think, again, yeah, you cover a lot of film festivals, and I think that ethnic, cultural, / national film festivals are not what 20 and 30-somethings are doing today.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge for all film festivals to get that audience in. Subtitles, again, is not something they're brought up on. It's just not part of the zeitgeist of youth today.
Do you think, especially in English-speaking countries, where, you know...
Possibly, yep. Mm. Probably more so, absolutely, because your average Australian, 20-something...
Yeah.
How many times would they go and see a subtitle film in their life? You know, I think it's a rare thing. So, you know, we need to, cultivate their senses to expose them to it. As well as that, I think also with any culture, when you're being culturally specific, 20 or 30-somethings, they want to be universal, you know, global citizens. They don't want to be, you know, kind of strangulated, in inverted commas, into their culture and their parents' and grandparents' culture. They want the wider world. So, you know, trying to get the younger audience, whether it's the Jewish or the Italian or the French, you know, is a challenge, and we face it, but it's actually improving, and we're getting a lot of a younger audience, and we want more of them to come. We think that that's obviously the future for us, so we're working hard to get them there. In fact, a lot of films in our selection actually are bullseye to a 20 or 30 something crowd, and a lot of them are actually English language, contrary to the whole subtitle discussion,
yeah.
But it's still in the context of a you know, ethnic religious film festival, and so therefore a bit not cool, but you know, we'll do what we can.
And you also have included in the in this year program that film, and sorry, the title escapes me, about the big wedding,
Wedding Plan?
Yes, The Wedding Plan.
Yes,
yeah, it was a hit, isn't it?
Big film in Israel and also in America. Still playing in the US, I think, and it was directed by Rama Burstein. Don't know if you remember her film Fill the Void.
Yes.
Beautiful, delicate film.
One of the best films I've ever seen in the...
So she's an Orthodox female filmmaker.
Yeah.
Telling great stories that are really grounded in religious culture, but obviously with a universal message.
Yeah.
So this is a story about a 30-something woman in a religious community in Israel who has an engagement broken off, despite everything being booked in terms of wedding reception, food tasted, dress organized, invitations, you know, sent. And she decides that her faith is so strong that she's going to proceed with the wedding, and a groom will appear because her faith is so strong. That's the premise.
We don't want to hear more about it. We want to watch the film.
Yes.
Eddie, I have one last question for you about your job as a festival director. It's more like going to film festival to select films, or it's more about liaising with distributors globally to secure the program?
Yeah, so it's a range. So we do go to Cannes to Berlin and to an Israeli documentary festival, Doc Aviv, so we do get out there a bit. Mm-hmm. But then we're also searching, continuously trawling, you know, all the festivals online, and we get things, films sent to us. And we watch many, many films at home and on links, Vimeo links, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's quite a wide range, wide net that we cast in all sorts of ways, being present, being online, hustling, talking, you know, and whatever we can do.
Is it 20?
And looking, and also looking at Wikipedia to find out who is Jewish. So there's a bit of time spent on that. So, you know, unearthing people like Hedy Lamarr
yeah.
and Bert Burns, who's the great music, unknown, unheralded music songwriter who wrote Twist and Shout, which everyone thought the Beatles wrote.
Twist and Shout?
Yes, and so we got a movie about Bert Burns. And J.D. Salinger, Catcher in the Rye. So, you know, Jewish father, brought up in a Jewish house, Jewish home. So, you know, these are very important starting points for us to look through a Jewish lens and tell universal stories.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that Twist and Shout wasn't written by the Beatles.
That's right. Yeah, Paul McCartney's in the film saying everyone thought we wrote it. Yeah.
It's always so interesting to talk to you, Eddie.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for your time. And the Jewish International Film Festival opened in Sydney on the 26th of October, and it will run until the 22nd of November. The festival also runs in Melbourne, Perth, Brisbane and Canberra. I've been talking to Eddie Tamir, the festival director of the Jewish International Film Festival, and I'm Christiana Palmieri for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.